Couple minutes after 4 o'clock and you are listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara worldwide at kpfk.org. It's once again time for Melting Pot here every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. My name is Michael Barnes. I'm your host for the show. And today, generally here at the end of the month, we play all vinyl. And that is certainly going to be the case for me. And we'll see if we have a super special guest coming in. I think the weather may have delayed him a bit, but stay tuned for updates on that. But in the meantime, I'm going to play you some music. And with all that happened this past week, such an incredible week in a variety of different ways, in every sense of the word, incredible. And the emotions have kind of gone from one place to the other, and certainly my mood affects the kind of things that I end up putting in the record bag with me. If this show had been done earlier in the week, probably would have been a lot more fire, a lot more anger in the songs. But here at the end of the week, I feel more about presenting a message of hope, perhaps, and keeping us on the right path. And since a lot of times here at the end of the month, we play you a whole lot of Jimi Hendrix. We'll see how much we play you today. But certainly want to play you a bit right now. Three songs, all featured on the second side of the record Band of Gypsies, recorded live with Billy Cox and Buddy Miles as a Band of Gypsies, along with Jimi Hendrix. Power to Love, Message of Love, and We Gotta Live Together. Just seemed to fit the mood for me. So here you go. Here's a good bit of Jimi Hendrix a couple days after his birthday right now for you on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Jimmy's gonna do a thing that he wrote called Message of Love.
Mirrors of my head.
clap your hands one more time and sing along with us. Thank you.
Music from Jimi Hendrix, Billy Cox, and Buddy Miles is a band of gypsies from a record of the same title. And that was most of the second half of that record. Again, it's just something I was kind of in the mood to hear and play for you guys with everything going on this past week. Power to Soul, or Power of Soul, Message of Love, and We Got to Live Together, the name of the last song with Jimmy and Buddy singing together on it. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome into our studios a musician who we had hoped would be able to come in a little while ago, but wasn't able to happen, but thankfully he's here today, and that's Mike Watt. How you doing, Watt?
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me aboard. They're very appropriate for Thanksgiving and what's been going on this week.
Yeah, thanks.
Great album, man.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite Jimmy.
Well, yeah, certainly my favorite as well. We talked to you earlier in the year. We did this 30th anniversary special for Double Nickels and a Dime, and back then we talked about you coming in again and set things up, but had some problems because you were actually picking up the members of this latest project that you've been working on, Il Sogno del Marinario. For the tour that you just got back from.
Yeah.
You're always touring, it seems like.
Especially spring and fall.
Yeah. So things, I think, what was it? They like got stuck in customs or something along those lines,
immigration,
right?
Immigration, a little slow with the, you know, the thing under the Statue of Liberty, you know, they don't tell you about, it's not so quick. Give me your drummers, your guitar players. But please wait. Scusi.
Yeah, so it is nice to have you in here.
And, yeah, we missed because we were planning on hitting right from LAX over to here.
Yeah, yeah, and it would have been nice to talk to the other members because that was really their first time touring the States. But who knows, you know, maybe for the third record that you guys do in the future.
Yeah, Terzo.
But let's... A couple of things I do want to talk. This particular project, Il Sogno del Marinario. And I was wondering, kind of keys into a variety of things that I'm always wondering about with you. You know, since the Minutemen up to the present time, you've always been a really collaborative artist.
Yeah.
And you kind of had your hands and bass in a variety of different places. And I'm always really interested in just how many of those projects get together. So why don't we talk about this particular one and maybe talk about some of the others. But how did you actually hook up with these guys? Both of them are Italian, right?
Yeah. A lot of the way things come together is by accident. Mm. You know, D. Boone jumping out of that tree. This guitar man in this band here was put in a boat with me when I was doing my second opera.
Okay.
The Italian promoter thought we needed a helper man with us for the Italian gigs. So that's how I met him. Just put in a boat. Then I find out later he also plays and stuff, and he starts sending me music. He's in a band called Three Quarters Had Been Eliminated. That's a band name.
I bet that sounds great in Italian.
And very emotional kind of... avant-garde, would you say?
Yeah.
That's the school both these guys are from, Stefano and Andrea. But Stefano gets his offer to play Cesena festival. And he asked me. He says, I got a buddy from Verona who does drums. And we can make a trio. I said, sure. But, you know, one gig? Well, I come over here and we do a few gigs, maybe five or six or something. Okay. And we're going to get stuff together for some gigs. Why don't we record it? This is the way I'm thinking. The older days, I wouldn't have been thinking that way. But now, that's what I'm thinking. So all of a sudden, because, you know, part of it is being a bass. I think it lends itself to being like you're kind of like glue, so you need, you're constantly needing things to stick to.
Yeah.
I think in the older days, producers or something put you together. But the idea of a bass player, we were just talking about Jack Bruce when Jimmy was playing. He's one of the guys who first gave voice, I think. That I could actually hear and put a name to. But what I was feeling was on the radio big time was James Jamerson and the Motown stuff.
Mm.
And I think he's on the most number ones. There's a drummer from England, a session guy, but he's like on like 100 top 20s.
Uh-huh.
So, massive. But he was probably, this is who I got to play with today. Where my thing is like, well, what situation can I get in that makes bass interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And both these guys cook. Say, so, yeah, let's go to Italy. Get some good food. Get some guys 20 years younger than me and to avant-garde. I think there's some stuff I can learn in this situation. Uh-huh. I think that's one of the problems about getting older. You think you've seen it all.
Hmm.
So you need, I think, experiences like this to keep in beginner mode. There's something, too, about the bass, you know. Humans, long, they do something more and more and more. Well, in bass, you get small if you're trying to play too many notes. So it's always this search for the right notes. And somebody who's just playing can write a great bass line because of that, because of the physics. And so that's another thing that keeps me open for situations. So once they happen, you know, however they happen, then I engage just like it was me and D Boone. Now we're going to have to work on this. We're going to have to compose. We're going to have to find a voice for this ensemble. Whenever you get more than one cat playing, I think you're trying to make an interesting conversation that has got some integrity to it. I mean, we're all born, it seems, with individualism and at the same time bunches of common ground. The arts is the way to try to express that, and especially in a collaborative thing, which is, you know, the ensembles. And that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I found with these guys. It was trippy, you know, to think about all that ahead of time. I probably could have never, but because circumstance and situation brought things. And I learned that from the D Boone, you know, coming out of that tree and his ma saying, okay, you're the bass. I never even picked bass, you know. Yeah. So a lot of my life has been lucky things. But then I found once they get going, you have to work at it big time. Most of the time, situations don't want you cultivating. Almost like the manure thing.
Yeah.
And so, but maybe that you can buck up on that and get something. The one thing is to keep in learner mode, and that's what it's all about. I would have never guessed that when I was younger. Or more younger.
Yeah.
With D Boone. Yeah, we're going to graduate school. And there's going to be no more tests. No more learning. And found out that was a ridiculous way of thinking. You know, it's really ridiculous. But it's hard to know when you're young. You know, when the older dudes are trying to relate stuff to you, you don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You almost have to find it out by doing it and stumbling and getting back up. And this is what I found about things. So the situations of musics. What can I do with my bass to reinvent, to make myself feel like, I'm here and I'm not just won the lotto or resting on some whatever laurel that, you know, I'm like good tires for the boat.
I would think with a lot of people, especially when they start up a new musical partnership, being in one country and the other players being in another country might be a really frustrating thing. But with you, because you're always working on so many different projects, almost seemingly simultaneously, it almost seems like it might be better because it kind of flows with the rhythm of all the other things that you're doing.
And you know, these days, too, this technology thing.
Mm.
This would have been harder to do in the D Boone days. You had to be jamming with the guys. Which, I mean, there's nothing like playing on stage with two other guys. But, yeah, getting it together, that's a whole different way than the old days. And not... They're not even in the same land. The drummer man moved to Berlin.
Oh, wow.
So we're in three different countries.
Jesus.
But when people talk about the bad new days, I mean, there are some good things. And part of it is this technology thing where we can collaborate. But when it gets down to it, it's almost the old vaudeville. You have to get out there. You have to put a gig together. You have to put a set together. We were getting it. Maybe this is rubbing off from my opera thing, but we were playing the set like it was one big song.
Huh.
Yeah, they really... I got to give them a lot of credit, too. because I put myself in their shoes, and I remember me and D Boone didn't even know anybody 20 years older, let alone playing with them.
Yeah.
Such a, younger people, I give a lot of credit to. They're a lot, I'm not saying light years ahead, but compared to us in the 70s, they're a little more open-minded, and we'll play with the old dude.
Now, that first record kind of came, seemed to just kind of come together in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But what about with this second record? How did the ideas for it come about? Part of the way that you were talking about it was, because of the technology, kind of made things a little bit easier to share ideas and share songs and kind of put the final product together. But how did this second record come together with this project?
Yeah, big difference. First, when we knew each other, we did 6 gigs.
Uh-huh.
Was recorded after 3 gigs. So we only knew each other for 3 gigs.
It's like a band of gypsies.
It's like a band of gypsies. Totally. This one here, we actually did that Europe tour. So we had time playing with each other. And then, instead of only 2.5 days to do it, 8 days.
Hmm.
And we all spent it together in this farmhouse outside of Bologna. The studio was actually in the barn. And so that was a lot different than the other one. The other baby got recorded and all the basic stuff, and then they added on guests and stuff because it was a couple years before it came out.
Yeah,
I didn't want to put it out till we toured. That's the one thing about schedules, right? Getting them to line up. So it took 3 years before we could tour that thing. So that, in the meantime, this one, no. What we get right here, let's put it out that way. So completely. We're already talking about the third one. We want to do that one different too.
Huh.
Yeah, these guys, I think maybe coming from the avant-garde, they're not afraid to take chances. It seems that scene is... Yeah, it's not a lot about beats. They told me when they first played together, they weren't even on drums and guitar. They were beating on some mattress thing, you know, with the springs, and hitting on it with forks and spoons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty experimental.
Yeah, you know, and you can imagine, you know, here's a guy who grew up on Jack Bruce and James Jamerson, but that shows you the righteous stuff of music. You know, the genre thing is ridiculous. Mm. It's bringing the human experience, and the distances brings in an exotic thing. I think in a way, like wow, you know, what's one trippy thing? Even though 21 years apart, we still share punk.
Uh-huh.
That's how old punk is.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Yeah. So in a way, we do have a reference point that's, what do you call it, one of these contemporary movements.
Yeah.
It's actually like 30 or 40 years old now.
Yeah, but it's a shared language now.
It totally, which is a big, big surprise to me. I thought it was some freak out on the fringe. Well, it still is for me. But the way, yeah, some cats in other lands and they could develop into very serious musicians and stuff and still came from that strange scene with the funny names and haircuts and clothes and wild music. I'm very indebted to the movement still about that. The same thing that allowed Double Nickels, allowed El Sueño de Marinaio, yeah, in some ways. And even with Tom and Raul with the third opera, I'm going to do one more time around with that this spring in Europe. All that stuff, made possible by that movement. I mean, I had to put in some effort. The guys I played with, of course, wasn't handed to us, but at least there was the opportunity there, you know? I wonder if any of this stuff would have happened. I would like to say, oh, yeah, musician, you know?
Mm-hmm.
John Coltrane, I remember him saying that they're after some kind of truth. I've always liked that. You know, this tour, I got to go... You know, I've always driven past Hamlet and High Point, you know, when I'm in North Carolina. This time, no, why? You're going to stop. You know, check it out. His guy showed us the pad he was born in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he worked at a garage across the street. And he took me to the Coltrane room where they had a little thing for him. Because, you know, this Temple University, I brought one of the tunes where he's singing and beating on his chest. Somebody told me he learned that from the Buddha thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, this idea of the music, the musician, I think, you know, I used to always think, well, this was a movement that let me and D. Boone play. But in another way, I think it's responsible. Well, D. Boone, too. I mean, you know, getting to play with him. And, yeah, where you're really trying to make interesting things. So even though this is a new kind of thing, last couple of years with Andrea and Stefano, my history has something to do with it. Without leaning on it, mm-hmm. without still, when those guys allowing me to be part of the present and be part of a thing that's happening now and not just, you know, the robot Mr. Lincoln at the Disney thing. Was that scary the way he looked? And everyone, so cause sometimes I worry about that, you know?
Yeah.
Cats like this want to play with me, want to put together a unit that's going to try to find its own voice and not just do the name game or something like that. Be sincere and enthusiastic. I owe them everything I got.
Yeah, it's a sound that certainly has some connections to, especially the couple of operas that you've been doing and you know some of your previous work, but it also has a little bit of a different sound. Why don't we take a listen to one of the tracks from this record from Il Sogno del Marinario, a group that Mike Watt, who is our guest, is a part of, and see what you guys think about this. This is from the second record, Secondo Canto, right now from Il Sogno del Marinario on KPFK in Melting Pot.
Was pretty.
Music from Il Sogno del Marinaro from their record Canto Secondo, and the song was called Mountaintop. It was a song that was written by the guitarist you were telling me about. Tell me a little bit about what he was telling you, the story behind that song.
Right, Stefano. He was climbing Mount Etna in Sicily. It's a volcano. Mm. And he said, you know, he's climbing up this baby, and kind of epiphany hit him that it was kind of a metaphor for life and death. He said, yeah? He said, yeah, but not so serious. He said, okay.
And you actually just did a tour with this group. This was really, you know, you're telling us a story of how the band got together. It really were only this a couple handfuls of times you guys played when you put the first record out. Yeah. And then they hadn't really come to the U.S., hadn't played in the U.S., and you guys did something crazy, like 53 dates in 53 days or something along those lines?
Yeah.
And it was a around-the-country tour.
Yeah.
You hit almost everywhere.
In the fall, I go clockwise. In the spring, I go counterclockwise. I got it from vaudeville. I didn't. You know, a lot of this is tradition for me. So, kind of new for them, but the no whining, they were tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they manned up, grew some balls. No, they're really righteous cats to tour with. And there's nothing like enthusiasm. In this racket, sometimes the entitlement thing, taking it for granted,
mm-hmm.
feeling the pee under 45 mattresses. I used to have a TR I put on the boat on the dash, but I wouldn't even have to put it on. You know, I just have to point at it. These guys, no problem. They were, like I was saying before, the O word opportunity.
Yeah.
Instead of the B word burden, you know. I remember reading these interviews when I was young, you know. Rock and Rollers, the hell of Torn, you know. And then me and D Boom, we started as a Minuteman. Wow, people pay money for vacations. I guess it's all a perspective, you know, so I'm just lucky. Or maybe that's why they asked me to be part of something. Maybe there's some resonance. There's some about the arts, you know, that go beyond borders and generations, whatever. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I remember first going to Europe. It was Minuteman Black Flag in 82. And it's just seeming so different and far away. And so did a lot of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you find out, again, that's all perception. And you find out, wow, yeah, of course, everything's a little different. That makes it interesting. Then there's still a lot of common ground. So don't get your thing all tied up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we do this even when we're beginning, thinking you got it all figured out. Just let go. Let become the learner, the learning mode, the student mode. Yeah, I like that place. Obviously, with the Stooges, you know, 125 months with them, learning Stooges music and learning how to bring it to gigs. And then you were talking about my operas where I asked people to help me realize these visions.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the true collaborations, which is like El Señor de Mano and Dos. I think I need all these things all come together. Now, what I don't really experiment with is other instruments. I know a little mandolin. I did write third opera on D Boone's guitar, but mainly I stick to the bass. And that trips a lot of people out. Why do you, you know, you've done a little bit on bass. Why do you? Wow, there's just so much to learn on the bass. I can't even go to the fifth string. There was a guy, you know, I was listening to this station, KPFK, the day of his memorial, was driving home from it, Charlie Hayden. And somebody rear-ended me in Los Feliz while he was playing. I think he was doing Don Cherry's Relativity Suite or something.
Oh, yeah.
Jamming. Yeah. Yeah. And, man, the boat didn't even get touched. The Mercedes hit me, crumpled up front end, not even touched. I go to the guy, don't worry about it. And he goes, yeah, my fault. I said, okay. Crumpled up. And here Charlie's music is going the whole time. You know, there's something about bass, and I'm going to stick with it. But bring it into situations, like with the Fratelli, with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to England. Here's something I just got back when I talked to you last time.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the DJs over there, Mr. Mark Riley, Mr. John Kennedy, had me over there with the BBC and XFM to do this proj, because some projects I do, there's no gigs. It's just about trading files.
Yeah.
But then, hey, well, they're playing this on the radio. Will you come over and play? I had to go play these songs in person. And now we're going to do a tour with that. So it's That's called Cuz. Cool. Me and a guy named Sam out of Brighton, born in Brighton. I just moved there. Just put it together by doing jams. And then he took little samples, showing me there's a kind of a, what do you call it, a graphical analog with his Pro Tools, where it's not just sounds. You actually... Sorry about that. Moving blocks of little things around.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow, this is a different way to make music. It's like baking cookies or something.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs> And so this Cuz project, I'm going to go do that next. And then I was telling you the last tour for the Third Opera, I'm going to put to bed in Central Europe. But then I want to do a Europe tour with these Italian guys of what we just did. And then probably...
out of that tour, probably record a third record.
Third album, that's it.
So, I mean, there. Now you got another project too.
All kinds, you know. In the summer, actually, right before I talked to you, I came back from New York City on the way from England.
Yeah, yeah.
With Nels Klein, I did something called Big Walnuts Yonder, and Greg Sarnier from Deerhoof, and Nick Reinhardt from. Sacktown. Caramelos, sorry.
It's all right.
Younger guys. And, man, this just came out. He wanted to know who played guitar on the first opera. I said, you want to know him? Play with him. So I called up Nels. Nels said, yeah, bring him. I mean, that's the way it's gotten with me. You know, if there's just any possibility of not doing a rerun, let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know? If you got a skateboard and... a lot of empty swimming pools. Something like that. That's the way I look at it. I'm not into the rerun. I'm not into, like, same old. But the situations, and, you know, they don't have to even be different instruments. Like this thing with the guitar, bass, drums.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this with all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And they're all different. I mean, look what Jimmy did with Billy and Buddy there.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do. Well, it's just like writing books and stuff. There's only 26 letters. You don't have to invent new ones to make a good novel. So that's what I'm trying to do. Get down the road with it. I think I've been very lucky. But at the same time, that feeds this other thing about being grateful that I got to work even harder to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about this earlier, just kind of not resting on your laurels, and it does seem like, I mean, there are quite a lot of people, when I think about especially your generation of musicians coming out of 70s and 80s, coming out of punk, there are still a few people who are out there still doing quite a lot of things, but it seems like for a variety of reasons, some people kind of just... fell out or just didn't feel the same kind of feelings to making music. But it seems like with you, there's always been this curiosity connected to sound and wanting to, even though, again, playing just the bass,
yeah,
not changing instruments, but kind of adding your voice to these different kind of spaces creates, you know, new possibilities, and that curiosity that seems to really drive you, you know, I think is a really exceptional thing, especially, you know, thinking about musicians over the last, you know, couple generations, and it's one of the many things I really appreciate about the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Michael. It in some ways surprises me, because I got into music very personal, just to play with D Boone.
Yeah,
and then this other thing, well. Yeah, what happened to us? But then this other thing where it's like, no, try to learn from everybody, or as many you can. Maybe it was a reaction to losing him. But you know, you hear some of it in that Double Nickels. Obviously, yeah. Remember D. Boone once saying, you know, well, we can play anything we want just as long as we sound like the Minutemen.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever that means. Sure. I'm on board with that, D. Boone.
Yeah.
He said, but you know one thing? I said, what? Your lyrics are too spacey. So that's why there's that landlady note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Said, is this one real? Is this real enough, D. Boone? No, but it's really interesting, you know, how you're shaped by your first experiences. But then maybe you kind of react against them, too. I didn't think anyone wanted to hear me play without him. Big surprise to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, big surprise.
Well, again, I think some of it is sound. You know, like Charlie Haden, you have a kind of signature sound, like you know you're playing when you hear it. But I think also likely like Haden, who did tons of collaborations and was really interested to do a variety of different genres, the approach to music, I would imagine, is something also that a lot of musicians find kind of comforting, welcoming in terms of either into the kind of vision for their music that they already have, or especially with all these kind of new projects that people kind of bring you into.
Yeah. They're my teachers. That's trippy. You know, when I was coming into middle age, I was thinking about that a lot. And then I decided it's okay. You have to just let go of these... the situations we're raised with, the school and education is strange.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost more of a pounding us into kind of subjects instead of like celebrating this idea of learning.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Because you can't let go of that.
Yeah. And as an educator, you know, I have those kind of tensions between, you know, what I have to teach in terms of the material, like, you know, they have certain classes and that, you know, this is what I'm supposed to teach. And also what I feel like I need to teach. And that's one of those things, and students talk about it quite a lot, especially that jump from college to high school, but even increasingly in college, it seems like this is happening where, the ability to critically think, regardless what the subject is, it just isn't something that's being taught, and it's not something that's really being, fostered, and quite a lot's lost. And that also explains quite a lot why so many people, so many different youth in this country, so many people in general, get very disillusioned with education.
Yeah.
Because in some ways it's not education at all.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder, yeah, both my sisters are educators.
Uh-huh.
And, sometimes I wonder, yeah, babysitting? No. I wish I could, you know, I got a degree in something that, you know, electronics, something I don't even use, but I still think those skills to get that board helped me in this stuff too. Part of it was a lot of negative. I had to hide all this music stuff from the campus and the people I knew. Yeah, because punk was such a looked down on thing in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really refreshing that people don't care about that anymore. For a long time, you had to hide this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I remember telling my pop, you know, man, we're going to be able to write our own songs and play. Yeah, yeah. It was like, yeah. What's it really about, though? That's what it's really about, pop. No, but later on when he finally saw me play once, and I think he understood more. But these kind of skills, especially the expression ones, they're hard to put in a handbook. But I think that's the way about a lot of life. There's no real handbook. So you have to, there is a lot of improvising. So you need these skills.
Yeah.
You need to know, cats who maybe not even been around longer, but they're in a different situation. They can give you a perspective that'll help you. But if there's no, I don't know, culture of like, hey, check that out. Being curious. Michael, you say I am the way I am because of curiosity. I would agree with you. And that ain't such a bad thing.
No.
So somehow that must have, like, got into me. Got into D. Boone. I know he liked reading history books. And I don't know what got him into that. But just still, the idea of you want to find out stuff. I think if any of the teachers we had, that getting that through to us, that's what helped make us what we were. I think there is something about being curious. You know? My skateboarder thinks that too, you know, when he's going to try out a move.
Yeah.
I wonder what will happen if I do this. Break my neck. But, you know, I'm trying to do the same thing with notes and rhythms.
Well, just got to take a quick break here at the top of the hour. Let you know you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org. Currently listening to Melting Pot, and this is your host, Michael Barnes. I'm here in the studio with Mike Watt, and he's going to be with us here in the second hour as well. We're going to continue talking and telling some stories and also playing some tunes. Watt brought some music with him as well. So we'll kind of do like the Watt from Pedro from KPFK along those lines after a couple quick messages here, and then we'll be back with you.
I'm Beto Arcos inviting you to join Maggie LaPique as she celebrates 20 years at KPFK with a holiday concert featuring special guest Stanley Clark. The event is Saturday, December 20th at the Catalina Bar and Grill on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. Your hosts for the evening are Richard Montoya of Culture Clash and music director Oscar Hernandez of the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. Joining Oscar and Richard will be a fantastic lineup of artists including legendary bassist Stanley Clark, Luis Conte, Justo Almario, The Hayden Triplets, Jimmy Dore, and many more amazing artists. Join us for KPFK's holiday concert at the Catalina Bar and Grill in Hollywood. Saturday, December 20th, show starts at 8 p.m. with a VIP reception starting at 6. Get your early bird tickets now at kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Lila Downs. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, globally on kpfk.org. Si porque te quiero, quieres llorona.